Hello, welcome to Inside Independent Publishing with IBPA. My name is Christopher Locke. I am your host. I am also the Director of Membership and Member Services at IBPA. Okay, so it's a major goal of many independent publishers and author publishers to get their books carried in a bookstore. But as many have found, it can be difficult to break into that market. So Inside Independent Publishing with IBPA invites Village Books and Paper Dreams co-owner and steward, Paul Hansen, and publishing coordinator, Chloe Hovind, to share their expert tips about how indie publishers can get into bookstores and also the reasons behind why it's kind of difficult. All right. Hello. Welcome, Paul and Chloe.
Hello, Christopher. Thank you.
Absolutely. Hello. So first, I want to start by saying, so I reached out, and the reason we had y'all on is because we were told that you are friendly to independently published books. So on behalf of all indie publishers, thank you for that.
Oh, it's our pleasure. You know, independent bookstores and independent authors go hand in hand. So we're love to mutually support each other.
Thank you. Yeah. So here's where I wanted to start, because I want you all to give your perspective, because you are booksellers, and it can be difficult for any publishers to get into bookstores. So I know sometimes they get frustrated, but you all have your own take on that, you know? So can you explain, you know, why bookstores might be a little less reluctant to carry like an independently published book versus maybe like a book from a major publisher?
Right, right. Well, I'm going to take a little step back. And one of the reasons why we've the store in particular feels so passionate about it, and why we work to support independent published authors, is because I started out as an independent published author as well. And I, while I was a bookseller, and I went through that experience of trying to get my book into a bookstore. And even though I was friends with the owners of these bookstores, trying to get my book on their shelves was a huge undertaking. Now, granted, that was before Ingram came along with its wonderful print on demand services and distribution services. So I was going one by one and talking to people one-to-one to try to get it in. And it was extremely difficult. And so being on this side of the desk, I wanted to make it as easy for authors coming to us as possible.
Thank you.
Fortunately, the technology has come to the point where distribution is a huge hurdle that's overcome, but there's still a lot of pitfalls that can be avoided in that to make it easier for bookstores to carry.
Yeah. So then, so what's kind of the main thing that like let's say whatever Simon & Schuster or someone, you know, has a bookstore carry their books. What's kind of the main thing that then indie bookstores are reluctant to have indie publishers, just because you're like, well, because of this, that's why they normally tend to go with the big publishers.
Yeah. But actually, logistically, it's mostly bandwidth. Knowing that we're human and we're looking at the million books that are published every year and trying to decide which ones are going to come into the shelf. With Simon & Schuster, for example, we've got a rep that comes in-house 2-3 times a year, and they show us the catalog. And we walk through it, and we talk about the pros and cons with everyone. We look at their marketing plan. We see how many books they're going to be printing. We can see where the author's from. We can see the relevance of the book and of the author. And if it's going to be a good fit, we can see the track record for it. We can see other books that are like it. They do a whole lot of work for us that gives us the information so we can make a qualified decision about whether to bring it into the store. With independently published books, with independently published books, we don't really have that opportunity. We don't have a rep who's going to come in and advocate for the book and be able to talk to us and give us all of that information in a quick nutshell so we can look at the other 2,000 books that day and make a good decision about whether to bring it in.
Yeah, of course. Yeah. So something at IBPA we really focus on is we want indie published books to be at the same standards as all of the major publishers. And I think there's a stigma to, especially self-published books, there's a stigma that they're not as professionally done. And of course, there's a reason for the stigma because some aren't, mainly because they just don't know what they're supposed to do. So like IBPA, we have a lot of resources to be like, okay, here's what you need to have on your back cover and your spine and all that. So I just want to see, are there any things that are kind of like just main things overall that you sometimes you see with indie books where you're like, this is something they always get wrong, and immediately we know, okay, this wasn't done professionally.
Yeah. Well, you know, Chloe can speak a little bit to that because she's with our publishing coordinator. She's working with our authors to get their books to look like that. You're just talking about the aesthetics piece. You want to talk a little bit about that?
Sure. Yeah. Aesthetics is important. We do get the pixelated covers and photos on the backs of a like paperback book, and you can just kind of tell right away in that case that it was probably independently published. Other things we see sometimes and try to bring to our authors' attentions when the process of designing their book, there's certain standards like where the text is lined up on the page and chapter headings. And there's a lot of freedom, creative freedom, to do as an author to format that how you like. But there's some things that just aren't as seen or that might make us pause and go, oh, I wonder why they did that. For example, having a table of contents but not putting any page numbers was a choice that one of our self-published authors did, which we might not have encouraged as much, but she felt really strongly about it. So just little things like that.
Yeah.
Here's what's in the book, but you can't find it.
Exactly. Yeah, she wanted the reader to flip through everything to get there.
Have that sense of discovery.
Yeah.
There's when readers come into a store and they look at our shelves and they see the things there, the eye is very attuned to seeing things a certain way. And it's really hard to define. It might be off just a little bit to your eye, but because it doesn't look like the other professionally designed books, design covers, with the elements both interior and on the exterior. I love using this quote, even though I hate using this quote, but I can't define pornography, but I know it when I see it. It's kind of like that. I can't define what it is about some covers that make them look like they are not professionally designed. But there are elements there that an eye will pick up, and you can see when it's not designed well. So taking the time to really have those elements that readers are expecting to see in a quality publication is very important.
Yeah, and that's why it's so important for people to hire professionals, you know, someone who professionally designs book covers, professionally designs interior design, rather than saying, well, to save some money, I'll do that on my own.
Right, right.
Yeah. So, and by the way, IBPA has on our site, under the resources tab, it's called Industry Standards Checklist for Professionally Published Book. So,
oh, that's fantastic.
Check that out. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. That's one of the things that we talk with authors who approach us. We like to do a skills assessment. Like, what are you good at? And what are you not good at? And you need to hire somebody to do. And, what do you want to do? What do you not want to do? There are some people who are not good marketers, and there are some people who are great dynamic marketers. And if they're not a great marketer, let's get somebody paired up so they can do that for them.
Absolutely. So you were talking about discoverability, and I do think that that is absolutely something that's difficult for indie publishers because, like you said, there's literally millions of books out there and millions coming out all the time. Mm-hmm. So I want to help our publishers understand how to get books in front of y'all, and I mean y'all as in booksellers. So where do you all find out about new books?
From a lot of different places. Primarily, we hear from our reps. And when somebody can get their books through an independently published rep to be able to get in front of us, that is probably the best and most expedited way. Publishers Group West, Independent Publishing Group, Ingram Publishing Services, those are just some of the top ones. There's lots of other ones that they are streamlined with both with the distribution and with getting the books in front of us to be able to advocate for them. Like I said, getting that information together for us to see.
Right. And that requires then them having like a distributor though, right? Aren't those are places where they had to have been accepted to, you know, with the like IPG or something like that,
right,
to get that rep. So of course that's like one kind of wall, because if you don't have distribution, or in by distribution we mean traditional distribution, then it makes it more difficult. So let's say someone doesn't have traditional distribution. What about people always like, they're trying to be like, you know, assertive. So like, is it okay if people come to your store and be like, hey, I got this book? Or are you all like, okay, you know, like that's not professional.
Right.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Well, Village Books has a very strong consignment program where we'll take local authors' books and carry them and see how they sell, essentially. And there's just a couple of us on the floor who kind of knows all the ins and outs. So when a local author comes in and they want us to carry their book and no one's available to talk to them, it can kind of flop. Mm-hmm. But we do get a lot of emails saying, hey, I just published this book. Here's a link to my website so you can look at it. Would you consider carrying it? And then at which point we can start the conversation to see if it is available from Ingram, at which case we can just carry it that way. Or if we need the author themselves to be the person who stocks the books or takes them back with returns or damages, and if they're up for that.
One of the things that we realize with, or that we know with independently published books, this is their first book oftentimes. And so they're learning the ropes. They don't know how to navigate the waters. So number one, we have a really clear program here, and we have it posted on our website. So any of our, say, if you're a writer and you want us to carry your book, these are the steps that you go through to get your book to us. If you want to set up an event, these are the steps that you go through to do it. And it's, the documentation is all right there. And hopefully it's something that they can take away with them and take to any other bookstore for, because it asks questions like, do you have an audience? Do you have a local audience? What's the relevance of your book? Why should we carry it? What's your marketing plan? All that information that we would get from a publishing rep, we ask from the authors so that we can better gauge whether it's something that we can carry. And then once we get them in the store, we treat them very professionally, just like we do our traditionally published authors. And we pay our bills on time. Every quarter, we send them all of the royalty checks for everything that we've sold. We run the reports for them. We also have a featured local author program in the store, because we know that when the traditionally published books come out, they have their big splash. They have a lot of publicity. Actually, Chloe manages mm-hmm. that in our store.
Yeah, and it's a display spot right at the front of the store, which authors can essentially rent a space for a couple months and give us a blurb. And then we make sure all the different titles get seen and rotated around this display.
And how many titles do we have on there?
About 20 mm-hmm. every 2 months. Mm-hmm.
And it's $20 for the 2 months. And whenever authors ask us about that, they say, $20? We'll have to pay $20 for this prime placement in the store. And we explain that's what we get from publishers. Publishers pay us co-op in order mm-hmm. to advertise and publicize their books in some fashion, somewhere in the store or in our newsletters. And they pay us a small fee to be able to do that.
Yeah. And so exactly what you said, our consignment program holds the authors to the same industry standard. And we try to make that across the board wherever we can.
I love that you all lay it out so clearly. Tell us what the website is so people can go to the website.
Villagebooks.com. And we've got different tabs at the top. We have the ones for readers and we have the ones for writers. And the ones for writers, that includes portals into our writing groups and different programs for writers to get their books written.
Yeah.
And then we actually have our publishing mm-hmm. services there too that Chloe's participating in with Chelan. And so then once they're published, then we have our consignment program. And again, that's got all the forms that you can fill out and all the fees. And then we have our events program with all of those questionnaires. So it's we really like to educate and have the materials available for people. So it's not a boundary to get into the store. The information is there.
I love that. That's so great. And you probably recommend, if someone's just an author, so they're not a self-published author, you probably recommend the indie publisher is the one who fills all that out on their behalf, rather than an author specifically coming directly to you, right?
Either direction.
Either one.
Yeah, we've done both. Yeah.
Okay, that's great. So I want to see then, in terms of then what you're looking for, like I know you don't have to go through every single detail, but in terms of what you're expecting to be like, okay, this is why we would carry a book. So for example, I know you have all these, like you said, the rep would tell you. So is there like a certain amount of like proof of like, here's what we expect with sales? Like what are kind of some of the criteria that then pushes a book over that edge to go, yes, we would carry this book because of A, B, and C?
Right. I'll speak out with two hats. One is, as we're going through the catalogs for traditional publishers, what we look for those, and you can apply some of those criteria to it. So one is there local relevance? That's not a make or break, but it's definitely a make. If it's an author who's Pacific Northwest, even better. If it's an author who's in Seattle/Bellingham, then that will raise it automatically for something we would carry, because there's a good chance that somebody knows them, or if there's the subject matter has a regional appeal, then that will rise it to the top. If an author from Atlanta, Georgia comes in and brings us a book about sailing, well, maybe sailing would do it because we're on the coast, but let's say an author comes from Illinois. I'm from Illinois, so I can talk about it. Comes from Illinois and talks about a farmer in the cornfields of Illinois, and he wants to sell his book with us. I don't know that there would be good relevance. So there would have to be something else compelling about it. Why would somebody in our community want to buy this book? And I think the first thing to start with is we want to sell people's books, and we don't want to set somebody up to fail. And we want to accept somebody's books that we think will succeed and we can get behind and we can believe in. So if we can see each other both as allies with the same goal, and we're not going to just take your book because you want it, but we want it because we think it would succeed.
I think that's such an excellent point that people need to keep in mind, is when you're reaching out to like indie bookstores, you're not just like, I just want to put my book in every bookstore out there. Mm-hmm. It's like you all have things like you said, especially regional things like that, where it's like people are going to be looking when they go to your store for very specific types of mm-hmm. books. So like you said, like if it's a beach town and you wrote a book about surfing, that's a great town. But if it's a book about surfing, don't go to, you know, Colorado where there's a bunch of skiing or something, you know. So yeah. I love that. I agree. That's an incredibly important point.
Can I throw a little example? This might be a really good one. There's a book out. It's a couple years old. It's called The Bright Side Sanctuary for Animals. And it's about a town in Wichita, Kansas, actually Lawrence, Kansas. My father's from there, but that's not why we carry it. The author lives up here. She lives in the Bellingham area. So that's a shoe-in for us to carry. So because she's going to be local, she's going to make connections, and people are going to want to buy her book and be interested in it, despite the fact that it takes place in Wichita, Kansas. That being said, that gave us the doorway to discover this book and see that there's local relevance between the dynamics in here. There's some universalities about it. There's some organizations that we could tap into that have relevance no matter where in the country you are. Passion for taking care of animals, family issues. So getting some kind of linchpin that will get us into the book mm-hmm. and then find ways to make it relevant is, a way. As long as there's at least one thing to hang our hat on, then we can do it.
Yeah, and I'm a big animal advocate, so I love that you have that book in your store. That's good. So one question about books being published. What about if a book's not published yet versus it's already been published? Do you prefer books that haven't been published yet, or is it equal? You're fine with already being published?
I don't think we have a preference. You'd be amazed how many people, well, maybe not amazed, but it's amazing to me how many people come in and they say they're looking for a new book that's out, and they'll say it. And I'll say, well, this is about 5 years old. I'd be happy to get it for you. It's still available. And they say, really? I said, well, you know, it's not new. It's new to you. It's, mm-hmm. and it's old in book years. 5 years is pretty old in book years. But as long as it's new to somebody and there's something that's relevant, still applicable, then no, it doesn't matter.
That's good. Yeah, I think a big fear for some people is they're like, they didn't know a lot of these things about how to get into bookstores and all that. And you only learn that sometimes 2 years in, and then you're like, oh, does anybody even care anymore? But I agree. If it's evergreen, if the story is just a story, every new person that finds out about your book, it could be 10 years old, but for them, they're like, oh, I mean, I know as a reader, I'll read anything. I don't care if it's from the 1920s. If it's good, it's good.
Yeah. And a lot of publishers are re-releasing books that might've been long in the tooth. I'm recognizing these from 15, 20 years ago, and the publishers are re-releasing them with a fresh package and putting them back out there again. And I love, love, love it when traditional publishers will support their backlist and support mm-hmm. their midlist. And just because something is older doesn't make it any less good. There's still that freshness factor that's really mm-hmm. great, but that's just a marketing ploy. Mm-hmm. Just because something isn't brand new doesn't mean it's no longer relevant.
Good, good.
But it does need to be treated fresh. Yeah. That makes sense.
Sure. They don't bring the books in with cobwebs on them. So that's okay, so I wanted to ask about like a requirement for things like, let's say like a trade review. Like, do you expect that they have a Publishers Weekly review or something like that? or it doesn't matter, or how does that go?
No, it doesn't matter. Peer review or some kind of review process or vetting process, I guess I should say, is very helpful. And I think that when you're asking before, what's the difference between traditional and independently published, that might be a stigma that is hard to overcome. And I wouldn't say it's a stigma. It's just when you see a traditionally published book, you know that it's gone through a lot of processes. It's gone through a lot of people. It's gone through editors. It's gone through marketers. It's gone through reps. It's gone through booksellers. It's gone through a lot of people to say whether it's got good quality or not. Whether or not that's your taste in reading is a whole other issue, but at least a lot of people have seen this. For a self-published book, even though it's great that we have the technology to be able to do it, if the only people that have seen it is the author and the printer and now the bookstore, that's not a lot of vetting. So if there's some other kind of peer reviews, be it Publishers Weekly or Kirkus or Library Journal or other booksellers or other authors, somebody that recommends this book and makes it worth, their opinion is that it makes it worthwhile to read, then the better.
I think that's one of those things that when we're looking at books on the shelf that you don't notice is missing but is one of those clues that maybe it's an independently published book if the back matter doesn't have any kind of that review on there. But I will say that I think our store is pretty fortunate to have enough space where we can just say, we'll just see how it goes. And then if it doesn't sell, part of our consignment process is saying, well, we've carried it now for about a year and didn't sell anything, so maybe you should take these back. Mm-hmm. But we have wiggle room to take books on without those reviews and just see kind of how it goes.
Yeah, and we have the same. I'm glad you mentioned that, Chloe. We haven't talked about the returns and keeping books on the shelves. With traditionally published books, we have 3, 6, 9 months of, if it doesn't sell, we return it. We turn those to the publishers. With consignment books, we're actually we're a little more generous with that because we know they're not benefiting from the same kind of marketing or maybe the same kind of glitz or the placement in the store. So we're a little more forgiving with the how long we carry them.
Oh yeah, that's on my list, and we can talk about that now. Oh. So I did want to ask, a lot of publishers, like let's say they're going through something like Ingram Spark or whatever, like there's obviously a choice to do returnable and non-returnable. So mm-hmm. I wanted to ask if something's non-returnable, do you even look at it?
No.
It's a turn-off, yeah.
We will order it for somebody if a customer orders it. So just having it available for available for us to order is huge. That's head and shoulders above what it used to be. Just having it out there that we can get to if somebody's heard about it somehow and wants it from us, then we'll order it in. Yes.
Yeah, but they need to click.
So
that
we won't
box.
Take a chance. Yeah, we won't take a chance on it. Put it on the shelf if it's not returnable.
Right. Yeah, and people should know then if it is returnable. Like I believe, like you know, the publisher eats that cost, right? Like they like the whatever shipping or something.
Yeah.
They eat the cost, right? Yeah.
Yeah, it gets charged to them, and there is the option to have it be returnable, but have the books thrown away essentially, which most people don't like that option, but that you don't get charged for that in the same way you get charged for them literally shipping the book back to you, because they take the shipping cost out of your royalties.
Yes, correct. Yeah, it's called destroy. They said you want us to destroy your book, which I understand. I'm an author publisher. I'm like, no, don't destroy it.
At least give it back to me so I can sell them.
Yeah.
If anyone's going to destroy it, I am. All right. Yeah, I know. But it does save you some money. And depending on how many, you know, like if somebody, you know, sometimes they order like some big box, you know, stores that like, I don't know, 1,000 books. So suddenly that can really sink a publisher. So.
Yeah.
Yeah, but okay, yes. So,
well, I'm really glad you asked about that, because one thing that we try to do, because we work with so many independently published authors and have events for them, we recognize that issue of the returnability. So if we know ahead of time in advance of the event that it's a one of these print on demands with a return either destroy or return to the publisher, we like to work with the author and say, okay, how many more? We like to order a lot for an event, so we have enough for the author. We're not going to overdo it and order 100 books if we think we're going to have 5 people at the event. Mm-hmm. How many people do you think are going to be there? So we can have a good number. Mm-hmm. And then we'll coordinate with them. Okay, so after the event, we're going to have some left over because there's going to be some other sales afterwards. But for the ones left over, do you want to buy them from us at wholesale? So we're not shipping them back to Ingram and then them shipping it back to you. And you got to pay for the shipping mm-hmm. and all of that stuff, the expenses. Then you've at least got more copies you can sell at another event.
Yeah. So, and we've talked a little bit about this. I just want to make it clear where specifically you're talking about where you buy the books. So yes. that where do you all go? And so where should publishers have their books available for y'all to buy them?
Mostly Ingram. Mm-hmm. And then Bookazine. Mm-hmm. Is the other one?
Yeah, the distributors that we work with on a regular basis are Ingram and Bookazine. We loved it when there were more, but that's what we're down to now.
Yeah. So that's why, so what's great, IBPA, our members get free title setup and free revisions for both Lightning Source and for Ingram Spark. So we always tell people, get it on there, because booksellers, they don't want to buy the book directly from the publisher. You all want to go to where you normally have that access. You just have it in your system already.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I will say too, some self-published authors, their books are only on Amazon because they use KDP to publish it. Mm-hmm. And our store doesn't buy from Amazon. And I'm sure there are others out there too. And we have, in that case, in order to carry that person's book, the author has to buy their own books from Amazon and then consign them with us. So that's just, it can get complicated, but there are workarounds.
Well, I mean, I would tell anybody who's selling books to a bookstore, don't tell, like, hey, go buy a copy from Amazon. It's like, you're a competition. Yeah. It's ridiculous. So that would be a real real bad amateur move.
That's another one of those places where we see an educational opportunity, because we realize you're navigating the waters for the first time, and Amazon seems like they're quick and easy, and if we seem interchangeable with them. So if somebody comes in with that approach, we don't hit them with a hammer. We'll say, we'll educate them. We'll say, okay, so Amazon, we'll say exactly what Chloe just said, and do it in a friendly way to help them to not stub their toe on the next bookstore.
Yeah. You're like, they ruined it for us, but good luck with the other one. I wanted to ask, because you talked about events. So if a publisher comes to you and says, hey, our authors are willing to do an event at your store, like, is that like a bonus? Are you like, oh, great. Or does that not really matter in terms of whether or not you carry their book?
Well, if they're doing an event, we will carry the book. Yeah. So that's fantastic. The knowing that an author will do events lets us know that they're also behind doing the marketing. They're just not just going to put it out there and then it'll be passive. That means they're active in trying to promote their book. Mm-hmm. So even if the event isn't here, at least we know that somebody will start to hear about it, because somebody mm-hmm. in Bellingham might attend the event over in Spokane, and then it spreads, because events have a way of spreading the word beyond their own, the ripple effects outside of the event.
Yeah. Well, so we've talked a lot about what you all are doing and, you know, to help indie publishers. So I want to flip it. What can independent publishers do to support independent bookstores like yourself?
That's a great question. This is another one of those educational moments. So when authors or independent publishers will send us information, and the click through link to find out more information either goes straight to Amazon or goes to their website to find more information. And on their website, it says, click here to buy from Amazon. But it doesn't have a click through to to either bookshop or to another independent bookstore.
IndieBound.
Yeah. Then we'll educate them. We'll say, we would love to consider your book. Please consider also placing. And we're not saying get rid of Amazon, because we know that that's where a lot of people buy their books, but at least give us a shot and mm-hmm. another outlet to be able to sell the books through their website.
Right. And so through the website, then it wouldn't necessarily be literally all of the indie bookstores. You said it's okay to have something like a bookshop or IndieBound or something, because that you all are connected to them if people buy books.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. And my dream to be able to see is I completely understand to see a link to Amazon, although I got to tell you, they don't need any help. people know where they are. You don't need to provide a link. They can find you on there.
That's my next question. I was going to say, who's Amazon?
Yeah. But the if you go to their site and they say, buy here from any independent bookstore, and that clicks through to Bookshop or IndieBound, and then, or click here to shop at our local favorite independent bookstore, one that they're partnered with. And if we have an author here who, and we do, we have authors here who link specifically to Village Books and to their page on Village Books that mm-hmm. we featured for them. So that just so shows that they're not just involved in the book world, but they're involved in their community.
There was a lot of talk about the pandemic and how it was affecting bookstores, especially like indie, because sometimes there's literally one store. So are you all doing okay? I mean, are you starting to get back to better again? Or are you literally millionaires because of the pandemic? I mean, like, what happened?
That was an interesting couple of years. And we did a lot of, actually, we ended up, our business model is to look for opportunities and the challenges. And there were a lot of things that we wanted to do before the pandemic that then we had to do. And so, great. We wanted to do home delivery. We'd been wanting to do home delivery, but we didn't know if anybody wanted it. Then all of a sudden, that was really what we needed to do. So one of our owners stuck the books in her pannier, and she rode her bikes around town and delivered books by hand. Our online sales went through the roof, and it probably had 800% growth in that first year. We had been wanting to grow that and to bolster it and to get some efficiencies in it. And then we really had to, so that we could handle the big influx. And then virtual events. We also were wanting to do virtual events, but was there a demand for it? We'd have to train all of our customers how to do it. Well, thank you, world. You trained everybody how to go virtual, and then we could do it.
And so, even on the publishing department, we have a very long wait list at the moment because of all these people who finished their books and their stories during the pandemic and now are ready to self-publish them.
Yeah. Well, what about the virtual versus in-person events? What's been the feedback? Like, are people just as happy with virtual? Because I've heard that I've talked to publishers and they've said, "Ugh, man, those virtual events aren't really selling books as much, but the in-person is a lot better." So can you give feedback? What's happened with those?
It depends upon the book. We've done a lot of navigating with that. Claire, our events coordinator, has done a fabulous job of not just coming up with the innovations here in the store, but talking to other bookstores and working on best practices and ramping up for it. We're seeing great success in some independent bookstores, in some books for the virtual events, and some not as much. We're seeing some a little bit of a tapering off for people wanting to attend the virtual events, and I think being really hungry for the live events more.
I think the demand is going up for hybrid mm-hmm. more than anything. The people who want that energy of the live event, but who can't make it for one reason or another. I think that's kind of the next step with what our events coordinator wants to try and do.
Yeah.
Less virtual only and more hybrid.
And there's a lot of authors that weren't either willing or able to come to Bellingham, but now we can make them accessible to our customers and our community. And that's super awesome. And so if those can continue, not in lieu of the personal visits, because nothing replaces that, because they can actually sign the book.
Yeah. And as far as book sales go, I think live is by far more successful.
Right. Yeah. People like that personal connection. They get to meet the author and it's like fun. And yeah, I hear you on that. So you're doing in-person again, like events.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, great. Okay, cool. We're getting near the end. So before I end, I just want to make sure that, is there anything that I'm missing that you're like, oh God, that's so important for indie publishers to do that will really help them out?
I don't know if this falls under this category, but you were talking about checking those boxes on Ingram. And I've done some other talks with some folks from Ingram when they're doing the presentations. And one of the things that seems to be an aha moment is that just that thing about the discount. Uh-huh. Because the standard discount to bookstores, our regular discount is 40% from Ingram. And but if as an author, you click the 40% discount, then that doesn't include Ingram slice. So then it ends up being a short discounted book to bookstores. And so it goes from our regular discount of 40 to 30. So I think what I might be off on the numbers, but I think you have to hit the 50%.
50-55, I think.
Yeah, 50 or 55. And then that would show up as a regular discount to us. And that's something we would be happy to, we're a little more hesitant to bring in a 30% discount book, but a lot less hesitant to bring in a regular discount. And the financial reasons are just our margins like this. And that 30% is how we can't raise the price of a book. We have that 30% to pay folks, find folks like Chloe and find folks like Claire to run our events and to run our business. And 30% of every book to be able to run our business would not be sustainable. So,
But, you know, so as I mentioned in the beginning, like some publishers get frustrated that bookstores aren't willing to carry their books. But I think that one of the most important things to remember is y'all, it's a business. And if someone comes in off the street to look for a book and they've never heard of the author, they don't know anything about the book, you know, it's like they're maybe less likely to buy it. And that, of course, that's your business. You're not going to make money on that. So that's something for you all have to keep in mind. So I'm sure it helps if the higher profile, the more they can get the word out. And maybe like you were saying, if it's something that's connected to that region, at least, but you know, it's nothing personal. It's not like the book's even bad. It's just that you have to make your money back. And if people, when they come in off the street, are going to walk right past that and not give it a second thought, well, then you all are going to lose money. So I think they need to think of it from y'all's perspective too.
And actually you bring up a really good point. That's one of the things where, you know, I was talking about the authors routing people to their local independent bookstore to buy the book as their community partner. If an author that we know and love and they ask us to carry their books because they're local, we're happy to. And so we have the 5-10 copies on the shelves and good face out. But then they're selling direct whenever they can. Or sending their folks to Amazon, and now those 5 or 10 copies that they consigned to us in January are still sitting there on our shelf because every connection they made, they're not sending to us to buy. It's cutting off that lifeline, and we can't continue to carry something on the shelf that doesn't sell. So that's that. I guess the symbiosis. And actually, I speak from this from experience because I did that very same thing when I was a self-published author. I sent my book to a local distributor. Partners West, which was up here, a regional distributor, and they were very kind and carried my book. And I sold them directly to the bookstore that I was working in rather than ordering them from Partners. And then, oh, lo and behold, 6 months later, they weren't selling any books, so they sent it back to me. So now it wasn't available on a regional basis to any of the other bookstores. So nobody who heard about it could order it. They'd have to come directly to me. And boy, did I increased my workload and I decreased my sales. So I shot myself in both feet.
Good job. But look, you opened up a bookstore. Are your books sold in your bookstore? You're like, open a whole bookstore. So you're like, some bookstore is going to carry my books. It's mine.
Exactly.
Well, tell us about Village Books and Paper Dreams. I want to, so people can come and visit and, you know, connect with y'all.
Oh, good golly. How much time do you have? So
we have another hour left.
Excellent. We opened in 1980. The founders, Chuck and Dee Robinson, founded Village Books here in Bellingham, the historic Fairhaven district of Bellingham, back in 1980. And it's grown over the years. And right now, I hear a lot of people say, a lot of reviews say, wow, a little bookstore in Fairhaven. I was expecting a little bookstore in Fairhaven. It's 3 stories, and it's got this huge gift store to the side of it. So we're about 20,000 square feet, and they liken us to a mini Powell's up here in Bellingham. And in 2017, we opened a second location up in Linden, Washington, and that's about 20 minutes north of us. And yeah, it's a big operation, and we do a lot of things. We have about 300 events a year. We've got our publishing services, and we publish how many books a year for people?
Oh gosh, a lot.
And we got a waiting list to go on. So it's a great place, and our mission is building community one book at a time. And so we have a lot of community connections, and we're very fortunate to be in a community that values us, and we value them right back.
Well, anyone who's watching, behind you, you have a sign that says Miami. So are you just trying to pretend that you're in a warm place or something?
Actually, we were trying to be ironic with this sign behind us.
He decided to put it up just
before. This is a sign from the 1993 Miami Book Fair. And this is a sign from the Rock Bottom Remainders, which had Amy Tan and Stephen King and William Groening and, a few others. And the band from way back then. Authors.
I remember that.
Yeah. it's a little throwback.
Yeah. Well, stay warm. So look, this has been incredible. I wanted to talk to a bookseller. I knew you all would have great information. It's like you literally do this every day. So I wanted people to understand from your perspective what you're looking for to kind of dispel the whole myth that you're not willing to take them on. It's just that people need to do the right things to make them, you all want to take them on.
Yeah.
So, you know,
can I say one more thing, Christopher?
Yeah.
Since you're saying nice things about us, I got to say, I've been a fan of IBPA for a great many years. And whenever you guys have invited us to talk, I've been really honored to do so, because you do a whole lot for independently published authors, and giving them the resources and giving them the guidance to, again, to navigate those treacherous waters, because it's hard. It's really hard. And you guys do a lot for them, and I really appreciate what you do.
Thank you. I'll pay you later for that. like you were saying about the symbiotic relationship. I mean, we're also big fans of, you know, indie bookstores, and you know, we try to help serve that population too. And I wanted to connect these two worlds, because I don't want there to be any friction, and I want both worlds to understand each other's perspective. So
yeah,
I think you really illuminated a lot for our members. So
that's great. Well, if you want to discover your local independent bookstore, contact the regional associations around the country. American Booksellers Association is great for the national, but each region has their bookstores with dynamic and engaged independent bookstores. Ours is Pacific Northwest Booksellers Association. That's PNBA.org. But you can find the regionals all across the country, and they have great resources for authors and a great way to be able to connect and find those independent bookstores in your community.
Awesome. Well, so everyone, we can't tell you how much we appreciate you listening. If you're looking to get into bookstores, by the way, IBPA does have a bookstore catalog, and I talked to y'all about possibly being on that list, so you might be able to get into their bookstore because of that. And remember that we'd love for people to be members. So if you liked learning this information today, go to ibpa-online.org, become a member. And also subscribe to this podcast. It's the last Thursday of every month. Paul, Chloe, you all are wonderful. Thank you for being friends to indie publishers, and also for just giving us information about how to just be helpful to them. So I can't tell you how much I appreciate y'all being on here today.
Yeah.
Thank you.
It was fun. Yeah. Thank you.
Awesome. All right, everyone. You have a wonderful day. And please tune into the podcast next month. Have a great day, everyone.